All right, so we're going to start here on the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Bet, four lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Papa, Perot sheyatzu chutz l'tchum, fruits that left the tchum, v'chazru, and they came back. Afilu b'mezid, even if they come back intentionally, meaning that they were brought in knowingly that they were returning within the tchum, lo yifsidu et mikoman, they do not lose their position. Before, we were discussing a person who leaves the tchum and a person who comes back into the tchum. Where there we said, in order for the person to qualify to regain the tchum, they have to be both hotziu nachrim or whatever other onus took place, and chzirua, and that they brought him back in. It couldn't be that he left midat, that he left intentionally, or that he returned intentionally. In that case, that's the only way a person can regain their tchum. Here we're speaking about an inanimate object. So this inanimate object, if it leaves the tchum, obviously it doesn't leave on its own. It leaves with the help of someone else, and then it returns into the tchum. Even if it's returned into the tchum, b'mezid, b'kavana, with intent, with the person who's carrying it, they regain their tchum. My taima, anusim ninhu. They are moved against their will. They don't have a choice. So if they go out of the tchum and then they're brought back into the tchum, they regain the tchum. Unlike a human being, where they would only regain the tchum if it was done b'shogeg in both directions. So etuvei, Rav Yosef bar Shmaya l'Rav Papa. Rav Yosef bar Shmaya challenged Rav Papa and said, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov umrim, v'olom asurim, ad sheyachazru l'mkoman shogegim. That the only way you're allowed to utilize these fruits and have them regain their tchum is if they were brought back in b'shogeg. Not if they were intentionally brought back in, only if there was done b'shogeg. Shogeg in b'mezid lo. That's only if it happened unintentionally, but not intentionally. And that'll be a problem, obviously, for a couple who just said that even if they were brought in intentionally, that it would be fine. The answer is Tanayehi. This is actually a machloket Tanaim, this position of Rav Papa. The Tanya. Have a bright time. Peirot sheyatzu chutz l'tchum. Peirot the left tchum. Bishogei, if they left the tchum unintentionally, yochlu, they can be eaten. Bimezid, intentionally, lo yochlu. Now once they're outside the tchum, then nobody who is within that range before could eat them. We're assuming that someone from another city, someone with a tchum that extends beyond that can reach them. So the people can reach them, they can eat them. They're not considered to be asurim. And this relates to David's question, Tosafot asks over here, we have in other places in Shabbat, for instance, if there is bishul done on Shabbat, bishul that's done on Shabbat, we say, well, we have certain requirements of how much you have to weigh, deshiyasu, all those restrictions. We also just had before that if a melacha is done directly for one Yisrael, then another Yisrael can benefit from it. Yet over here, we're saying that it's completely asur for everybody, or the thought process is if it's done b'mezid, then nobody can touch it. Even people can reach it, or it's within their tchum, they're not allowed to touch it. He says, Kevin shenase isur ayidei Yisrael yechmiru. Here the problem is that the isur was done by a Jew. And the other case, which we just did in the last parak, was that a goy did malacha directly for one Jew. So if he did it for that Jew, then other Jews can benefit from it because it wasn't done directly for them. But over here, it's a Jew that performed the malacha, and he did it b'mezid. And since he did it b'mezid, you're not allowed to benefit from that malacha that he did, or get engaged in that item. And that's why if it's taken out b'mezid, lo yochlu, nobody should eat them. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, bim komam yochlu, if they're in place, they can be eaten. Shalo bim koman lo yochlu, if they're not in place, you may not eat them. My bim koman, what does it mean that they're in place? Ilema bim koman b'mezid. They were in their original location, and they got there by someone intentionally bringing them back to the original location. V'aktani behedjo. We already had an explicit statement, what we just quoted before, the question that was asked of Rav Papa, which is Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Amrim, Lolo Masurim, Achi Chazrulim Koman, Shogegin. Shogegin, b'mezid lo. It's only true if they were brought back in b'shogeg. But b'mezid, if they're brought back in intentionally, that's not the case. So that can't be the explanation of Rabbi Nechemia's statement over here. Elav bim koman b'shogeg. Must be that, what does it mean that you're allowed to eat them when they're in place? That's when they got there unintentionally. V'chasurei mechsera. And the Braita is missing words. V'achiktani. This is the way the Braita should read. Peirot sheyatzu chutz l'tchum. Peirot that were carried outside of the tchum. B'shogeg, if they were carried out, b'shogeg, unintentionally yochlu. B'mezid, lo yochlu. Intentionally, they should not be eaten at all. But med, very mamurim, when is that true? Shelo bim koman. That's when they're at a place. Avyal bim koman. If they return to their original location, afilu b'mezid yochlu. Even if it was brought back in intentionally, they can be eaten. That the Rabbi Nechemia lemeimar. And now, this is where Rabbi Nechemia's statement is made. Afilu bim koman. Even when they're back in place, nami b'shogeg in B'mezid lo. That when it's done b'shogeg, it's okay, b'mezid it's not. So now the way that the Braita reads, now you have a machloka between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Nechemya. According to the Tanakhama, you need one lekula. You need one thing that makes it a better case. So the two things that can make a better case is bimkoman, they're there in the original location, or shogeg. Those are the two things that can make the situation better. Therefore, the Tanakhama believes, if it was taken out bishogeg, then it can utilize those fruits, not when it was taken out b'mezid. Because shalobim koman is a deficit, but on the other hand, you have the shogeg aspect. Since you have shogeg, it's okay to use them. On the way back in, you already have bim koman as a benefit or something that is positive. And therefore, even if they're brought back in intentionally, we still allow you to utilize it. So for the Tanakhama, as long as you have one of those two items, either they're bim koman, they're in their original location, or if they're not in the original location, it was done bishogeg, either one of those is sufficient to make it mutar. Rabbi Nechemya comes along and says, you need both in order to be mutar. If it's back in bim koman, and it was done bishogeg, only then does it allow you to utilize them. You need both of them, the tzad heter, in order for this to work. And obviously, Rav Papa then would subscribe to the position of the Tanakhama. Rav Papa would agree with the Tanakhama. Rav Papa, who said that even if they're brought back in intentionally, you can use them, that's like the Tanakhama, who says when they're bimkoman, that's all you need. As long as they're back in place, that is sufficient. So when it says, no, that's not the way to explain this, Braita. B'mezid bimkoman. Huyama lo plige. Everybody agrees that if it came back in intentionally to place, dasur. That's no good. And their only machloket is about when it's done unintentionally, not in place. Tanakama savar bishogeg shari shalo bimkoman. Bishogeg, if it's unintentional and it's out of place, that's okay. Rabbi Nechemya savar afilu shogeg bimkoman in shalo bimkoman lo. And Rabbi Nechemya believes that even when it's done unintentionally, it only works if it's bimkoman. Aval shalo bimkoman, if it's out of place, then it doesn't work. So now you have that everybody agrees that if it was done intentionally, it's out of bounds, and you can't touch it. The only question is, if it's out of range, shalom bim koman, they're out of the original location, and how they got there. If they got there unintentionally, Tanakhama says fine. Rabbi Nechemya still says that's problematic. And then on the return, everybody agrees, if it's bishogeg, on the return you can utilize it, whereas by mezid, you can't utilize it. So then the Gemara says, Faha Megtani Seifa, what about the quote that we had before, Rabbi Nechemya? Rabbi Lezv and Yaakov Omrim, the Olam Ad Surim, there are always Asur, Ad Sheyechazru B'dem Koman Shogegin, until they return to the location, Bit Shogeg. Shogeg in, B'mezid lo. That when they return to location, Bit Shogeg, that's when it works, but B'mezid intentionally, no. Michlal, from that you would draw the inference, the Tanakhama Savar B'mezid Namishari. That b'mezid, it's also mutar, shmamina. Fact that we have this additional statement in the Braita of Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov seems to indicate that there's actually two things that they're arguing about. They're arguing about one issue, bim koman, and one issue, shalo bim koman. Because each statement of Rabbi Nechemya indicates that he's arguing about a different point. The latter statement, the one that we just quoted, that says Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov both agree that when it comes back to location, if it came back to location, b'shogeg, good. B'mezid, no, that means that the Tanakhama sounds doesn't matter how it got back there. They're arguing on the Tanakhama. What's the other option for the Tanakhama? Well, it came back to place, b'mezid. And the Tanakhama there says that that's fine. The other argument is that from Nechemya says, bimkoman yochlu, shalo bimkoman lo yochlu. That in place they're eating, shalo bimkoman lo yochlu. Well, shalo bimkoman, what is he arguing about with the Tanakhama there? We already addressed the issue of mezid bimkoman. It must be that that statement of Rabbi Nechemya is addressing the issue of shogeg. That even bishogeg, it's only bimkoman and not shalo bimkoman. If that's the case, he's arguing on the Tanakhama in a case of shalo bimkoman bishogeg. And this takes us back to what we described before. The Tanakhama only requires one tzad lahakel, whereas Rabbi Nechemya requires two tzadim lahakel. So Rabbi Nechemya is going to only be matir when you have both shogeg and bimkoman. That's the only case where Rabbi Nechemya will say it's okay to eat them, whereas the Tanakhama is going to be matir in one of two possibilities. Either it's bimkoman, doesn't matter how it got there, or shalom bimkoman bishogeg. So in those two instances, the Tanakhama will be mekil. And again, Rav Papa will subscribe to the position of the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama is saying that even if they got back intentionally to bimkoman, it's okay. And so that's how Rav Papa will be supported. You're right. Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that statement does disagree with the position of Rav Papa. That's okay, because there's the Tanakhama of that Braita, and Rav Papa will subscribe to the position of the Tanakhama. He has a Tana that supports him, And we're fine with that. Tosafot over here says, Nira de Hilchata Kitanakama, that the loch is like the Tanakama. Afagav, the Kaimalan Mishnah to Rabbi Lezer Kavinaki. We have a principle that Rabbi Lezer and Yaakov's Mishnah, whenever he's quoted, is kav vinaki. It's clean. It's something to be relied upon. It's been well taken care of because he was mentioned only a couple of times. And when he is mentioned, he was very careful about what he said. And so because of that, we generally would pass him the lacha like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Hacha lo kaimalan kavatei. We don't pass him like him because we have another principle that comes in the way, which is elikir rabbanan, like the rabbanan here. Kevan desavar rabbapa girabbanan. Because rabbapa holds like the rabbanan. Rabbapa already is in the world of the Amoraim, of the late Amoraim. And he's within the world of halacha kibatra. That there is a principle that the halacha is like the latter Amoraim, because they had the ability to see the whole picture. And then the halacha is like them. That only begins from the later Amoraim, but Rav Papa is within that category of the later Amoraim. And halacha is ki Rav Papa. So therefore, since Rav Papa here is positioned like the Tanakhama, like the Rabbonon, we're going to pass him like them. The afishogeg shlomim koman nira hilchata kibra tanakama deshari. Now, there are two things they argue about. They argue about bim koman, how they got there. That is Rav Papa's statement that even if they got there bimezid, it's okay. But they also argue about shlo bim koman bishogeg. If they are not in location bishogeg, is it mutar? So over here, he says that the halacha is still like the Rabbanan over here, because of one of the statements in the Gemara along the way, it makes it sound like Rav Papa would also agree to that statement. At least one Havamina of the Gemara assumed that Rav Papa would have agreed with that position. Since that's the case, we think that the halacha is like the Tanakhama across the board. The other reason is, delo kaimalan delo kantzin and shogeg atu mezid. We're never a kunes. We don't make a knas for shogeg unintentional because of intentional. Lo bidoraita velo bidorabanan. Not in Torah laws, not in rabbinic laws. So then, why was Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov oser here? Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, if we think that you never gozer, shogeg, unintentional actions because of intentional actions, then why does Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov say there's a problem here of shogeg? He believes that the problem here is not a problem of shogeg atu mezid. He's of the belief that when Heirot get to these locations where they're not supposed to be, they are locked into their four amot. You can't move them around anymore. And since you can't move them around anymore, we're afraid that someone engages with them, they're going to start moving them around and taking them to places where they shouldn't be. And so since, for instance, when they leave the tchum, they only have four amot, even if they leave bishogeg unintentionally, then we don't allow a person to engage with them because they only have four amot, wherever they are. Once they've left the tchum, they're locked into their four amot. And therefore, he doesn't want you engaging with them for here if you're taking them out of the four amot. Not because he's been gozer shogeg atu mezid. That's just a little wrap up of what we saw here. Again, that the Tanakhama believes that as long as you have one side of the hakel, which is either shalobim koman shogeg, because there shogeg helps you out. Fruits are locked into place because they're outside the tchum. They only have four amot. But anybody can reach them, can eat them in location, within their location. On the other hand, if they get back, even intentionally, but mezid, they get back inside, then they regain their tchum, they can be taken wherever they want to be taken, because they are anusim ninu, and anybody can utilize them, because that is the position of the Tanakhama, as opposed to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, who still says that you can only engage with them if it was brought in unintentionally. If it's brought back in intentionally, then a malacha has been done, or something wrong has been done on Shabbat, and we're not going to let anybody benefit from it. Whereas the Tanakhama believes, well, once they get back, they're back, and then they're within the tchum, and then anybody, except for, I guess, the person who did that, can engage with them and utilize them, because Rav Papa is the one who subscribes to that position of the Tanakhama, and therefore the halacha is that way. All right, next Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Hayam Aleph, ve'enu yodea tchum Shabbat. He's walking along, and he has no idea where the 2,000 amot end. Me'aleich alpayim psiot benoniyot. He walks 2,000 medium-sized steps. V'zoi tchum Shabbat. That's considered to be a tchum Shabbat, meaning that a medium stride is the equivalent to an amah. So if you walk 2,000 of those strides, you've now moved 2,000 amot, and then you'll know, or you can estimate, where the end of the tchum is. V'amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. We have another statement from Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Shabbat bebikah. He ended up resting, taking a Shvitah, coming into Shabbat, in the Bika, in the valley. A valley now that has no walls around it. And he's now in location, stuck in that location. He can walk 2,000 amot in each direction, because that's his Tchum Shabbat, since he rested there. In terms of carrying, he can't carry anything. There are no mechitzot. And so he has his Dalet Amot for carrying, but beyond that, there's nothing that he can do. But something changes on Shabbat. In the middle of Shabbat, V'kifua nachrim mechitza b'Shabbat. Then all of a sudden, on Shabbat, these non-Jews show up, and they build a wall around the Bika. And as Rashi points out, they're building a wall here for Dira, in order to live within it. Because if they didn't build it l'dira, it would be limited to Beit Zatayim. And the Beit Zatayim would be all that you could carry in anyway. So here we're talking about a much bigger expanse. So it must be that they're putting up a wall l'dira in order to make it into a living space, a living area. Yeah, they did this on Shabbat. Nothing to do with this Jew. No intent to help him out or anything of the sort. It just happens to be that he's in this location where they built the wall around. So now all of a sudden this person finds himself within an area that he has a wall around. So first of all, number one, Malik Apai Mama. He can still walk his 2,000 Amot, which was the case beforehand. Nothing has changed there. From the original location. From the original location, he can still walk his 2,000 Amot. Ooh, mitaltel bikula ayudei zrika. And he can carry in the whole area through throwing. Machloket Rashi and Tosafot, how to read this. Rashi says that you can carry up to the 2,000 Amot. You can carry anywhere you want now. You have mechitzot around you. It now becomes a location, and we believe that mechitzot that come on Shabbat are good mechitzot. And since they're good mechitzot, you now have a reshut hayachid. Reshut hayachid permits you to carry. Your only limitation is your 2,000 amot. You had only up to 2,000 amot in every direction. This area is larger than that, and it's encompassed by a fence. So what you can do is carry anywhere you want up to 2,000 amot. Within the fence, obviously assuming that the fence is bigger than the 2,000 amot, so you can carry anywhere up to 2,000 amot. Beyond the 2,000 amot, then that area is permitted to carry in, because it's still fenced in, but you're not permitted to get there. So what you can do, Rashi says, is ayidei zrika. You can throw it. Once you get to the end of the tchum, you can throw it past that point, because in terms of carrying, there's no restriction. The only restriction is for you to continue beyond that point. So according to Rashi, what happens here is you maintain your original shvita. You maintain your original 2,000 amot in every direction. Putting up a mechitza around you does not change that reality on Shabbat. That reality was nikva ben ashmashot, and that doesn't change. The mechitzot that come in after the fact only help you with regards to carrying. The ability to carry, because now it's a reshut hayachid, and you can do that carrying. What you don't change is the expanse, or expanse that you're allowed to walk in. So because of that, if this area is larger than your 2,000 amot, you can carry up to the 2,000 amot. Beyond that point, you cannot walk, but you could still throw things because it's still permitted to carry in those areas. Tosafot believes that the opinion of Nachman Shmuel here is not that you can carry at all. He says you're going to carry your Dalet Amot, the original Dalet Amot, but Ayudei Zrika. You can throw anywhere where there you can carry, you can move it around by throwing. Tosafot believes that you can't carry it anywhere. You can't carry it beyond the Dalet Amot you started with. The only thing you can do is move it through Zrika. Through throwing, you can move it around. Because the area is now permissible to carry in, but since it wasn't there before Shabbat, we're not going to allow you literally to carry, we're just going to allow you to throw it and move it around in that way. That is Tosafot's view of Rav Nachman Shmuel versus Rashi's view of Rav Nachman Bar Shmuel. Now, we had in our Mishnah Rabbi Gamliel, and in the Mishnah it says, Rabbi Gamliel says, if you get taken by Nachrim on Shabbat and dumped into a city, or dumped into a deer or a sohar, then when you land there, you get the entire area. Your Dalet Amot are determined by the Mechitzot around those areas, not by the Dalet Amot where you land. So over here too, why isn't it when the Mechitzot are put up on Shabbat, why don't the Mechitzot become like Dalet Amot? Right, the question that you asked before. What do you mean, where did the 2,000 Amot start from? Why don't they start from outside the Mechitzot now? Why isn't this area becoming classified as Dalet Amot? So there are two ways to answer that. The one way to answer the question is to say this is only according to Rabbi Shmuel, not according to Rabbi Gamliel, only according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that even when you're put into those areas that are encompassed, you get your Dalet Amot. They're not classified like Dalet Amot. And this is all according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rashi argues that this is even according to Rabbi Gamliel. Even according to Rabbi Gamliel, he would agree here versus what he says in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, you were taken there unintentionally. You were forced by onus to get into these locations. Because of that, the Chachamim were mekil, because of the difficulty in which you find yourself, that they allow you to gain the mechitzot as being Dalet Amot. But over here, where when you were shoveit, that was your original intent, and then the mechitzot would come up afterwards, over there, Rabbi Gamliel would agree we're not mekil to say that that becomes like 4 Amot. Because over here, you weren't in a position where you're locked into 4 Amot. Here, you can walk the full 2,000 Amot. In the Mishnah, if we didn't say you gain the walled-in areas 4 Amot, you're stuck in location and you can't move more than 4 Amot. You're literally locked in place. So there, Rabbi Gamaliel says, we're mekil. When you would have been locked in place, we're mekil to say that anything with a mechitza around it becomes like da'at amot. But over here, where you're not locked in place, you can walk 2,000 amot in any location. Now you want to expand that? Because of the mechitzot, that we're not going to do. So Rashi says this is even according to Rabban Gamaliel. So that's the position of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. But Rav Huna Amar, Huna says, Malech Alpay Mama. You can walk through the original 2,000 amot, similar to what Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says. Umetaltel Dalet Amot. That's it. You can only carry in the original 4 amot. The same way in the beginning you could carry in the 4 amot, so too over here, you can only carry in the 4 amot. Nothing has changed. Now, according to Tosafot, he's arguing on the ability to throw it around. From that point in time, according to Rashi, he's arguing on both points. You're not allowed to carry it around the remainder of the area, plus you can't throw it beyond the 2,000 amot. He's arguing on both of those points. Why can't he throw it around the area? Look, Rav Huna has to agree that a mechitza that's put up on Shabbat is a good mechitza. So technically, he now has an area in which he should be allowed to walk. So why can't he, netatel begula, yedei zrika? Why can't he move it around through throwing? So Gemara says, shemi yimashech achar chepto. Because he might be driven to follow the object that he throws. Now that would only be applicable or an issue if you're beyond the 2,000 amot. If he throws it beyond the 2,000 amot, then we're afraid he's going to follow his object. The Gemara asks, okay, miat, netatel kiorche, why doesn't he just carry around normally in the area that is his spans? The reason that he can't do that, why can't he just carry around within his 2,000 amot? He won't be then drawn after his object. He's within the 2,000 amot and he's carrying it around. Why can't he carry it around? What's wrong with that? I understand throwing it beyond the area that he can walk, that's dangerous, because then he might follow his object. And if he does that, he'll walk out of his tchum. So I understand why he won't let you throw beyond the 2,000 amot. What I don't understand is, why can't he just carry regularly within the 2,000 amot? He has a mechitza now. Mechitza that comes up on Shabbat is a good mechitza, and he's within his tchum. What fear do we have here? The answer is that it's nifritza bimloah, the makom asur la. This is a gemara that we saw earlier, a principle that we saw earlier, that if you have an area that would otherwise be mutar to carry in, if an entire side is broken open into an area where you're not allowed to carry, then that is problematic on Shabbat. And that's what you have here, exactly. Up to 2,000 amot he's permitted to carry. Beyond the 2,000 amot, there's still an area where technically it's a reshut yachid because it's still encompassed by the wall. He is not permitted to go beyond the 2,000 amot and carry beyond there. It becomes a makom ha'asurla. It's a place that he may not carry in. So now, in his 2,000 amot, there's no demarcation of where the 2,000 amot end and the new area starts. So on that side, or any side, that beyond the 2,000 amot, there's an area that's still encompassed by the wall where it's a sur for him to carry. Now he has a problem. On those sides, it's as if the entire side is broken open into an area that he may not carry. And because of that, it not only makes the area beyond the 2,000 amot asur, it even makes the area of the 2,000 amot asur to carry within. And that's the reason for the position of Rav Huna. Number one is he can't throw beyond the 2,000 amot because we're afraid he's going to follow the object. Within the 2,000 amot, because that's true now, that it's asur to move the object beyond that point, that now becomes an area where it's asur for the object to go. And since that's a place where it's asur for the object to go, it now impacts the area where it would have otherwise been mutar for the object to grow. But since it's parutz mimloah, it's open totally to an area where you can't carry it, that area also becomes asur. Because of that, Rav Huna believes you can't carry anywhere within the 2,000 amot, except in the original 4 amot that you had. Hiya barav amar. Halech alpay mama. So here Barav says you can walk the entire 2,000 amot, your original 2,000 amot. And you can now carry in those 2,000 amot. Come on, who's that like? Deloka Rav Nachman, ukedelo Rav Huna. He's not like Rav Nachman, not like Rav Huna. Now, not like Rav Huna is easy to understand. Rav Huna says you can't carry at all. Here he's saying that you can carry in the 2,000 amot. So we understand why he's not like Rav Huna. Why is he not like Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman also said you can carry, according to Rashi, said you can carry the 2,000 amot, and then you can throw beyond that. So according to Rashi, the reason he's not like Rav Nachman is because he only limits you to carrying within the 2,000 amot. He doesn't let you throw it beyond the 2,000 amot. According to Tosafot, he's not like Rav Nachman because Rav Nachman says you can only throw it. You can't carry it at all. Even within the 2,000 amot, you can move around by throwing it. You can't move it around by carrying it. Over here, Chir Barav is saying you can move it around by carrying it around. So, Ema Metaldel Ve'arba. So it says, no, emend the statement of Chir Barav to read that you're allowed to carry it for 4 amot. Where it says, Ihachi Hanud Rav Huna. If that's the case, then he's the same as Rav Huna. Ema, so amended to say, V'chein Amar Chir Barav. Not that Chiyur Barav is making a separate statement, but Bechein. Also, Chiyur Barav agrees to that position of Ravuna, which is that you're only entitled to the original 2,000 amot and the original 4 amot that you had there. Amalei Rav Nachman, the Ravuna. Lo tiflog alei de Shmuel. Nachman is quoting his memra in the name of Shmuel and arguing on Ravuna. Says, don't argue on Shmuel. The Tanya Kavate, because we have a Breita that supports the position of Shmuel. The Tanya, we have a Breita. Haya Modeid Uba. He was measuring along, and Bekalta Midato Bechatziyair. And the measurement of the 2,000 amot ends in the middle of a city. He looks at his perimeter, the 2,000 amot that he's entitled to, and when he looks at that circumference of 2,000 amot, the 2,000 amot ends at the middle of a city, in the middle of a city. Mutar the tatel leyokula. Ubuvad shelo yavor tatchum biraglav. You're allowed to carry around the entire city as long as you do not walk beyond your 2,000 amot. Remind me, tatel. How does he carry it then? How is he able to carry in the whole city if he can only walk to halfway through the city? The answer is lava yudezrika. He must be able to throw it beyond that point. When he throws it beyond that point, he's carrying in the remainder of the city. But he himself is not stepping over halfway through the city. And that would support what Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, that when your tchum ends, but you're permitted to carry beyond that point, you can throw it. You can throw it past that point. We don't worry about you following after your chifetz, after the object that's thrown, like Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel, versus Rav Huna, who says you can't throw beyond that point because we're afraid you're going to follow the object if you throw it, and you're not allowed to go beyond the half mark of the city. So Amar Rav Huna, lo, that's not the case there. You got it wrong. Ela yidei mishicha. He's engaging with the object through pulling it, moving it. So he's pulling the object back in. Now why is that not a problem? According to Rav Huna, the whole problem is that if you engage in objects beyond your tchum, we're afraid you're going to follow the object out there. So the difference, as Tosafot points out, is the direction in which you're engaging with the object. When you're throwing the object, you're inside your tchum, and now you're throwing it out of the tchum. When you throw it out of the tchum, we're afraid that you're going to follow the object out of the tchum. There, we say, no good. But, shema yimashef, what's the problem here? The object is outside your tchum, and you're pulling it back in to the tchum. You're moving the object from outside to the inside. Over there, we're not worried about you being drawn out, because your whole action is to bring the object back into the tchum where you are. And so because of that, you're going to be aware of the fact. Why are you pulling it back to you? Because you can't go over there. Since you can't go over there, you're pulling it back. That's already an awareness that you can't go out to get the object. So Rav Huna will let you pull the object back into your area of the tchum. He's not going to let you throw an object out of the tchum. The other question that you have is, why isn't this classified, like Rav Huna said before, why isn't this classified as an area that's parutz bimloa the makom shasurla? Why isn't this considered to be an area that is totally open into an area that is asur? Rav Huna said before, if there's an area that's encompassed or enclosed beyond your tchum, the area that's beyond your tchum is asur. You can't throw there. So that becomes asurah to carry there. If it's asur to carry there, then you have your tchum area open totally into an area where you were able to carry, and then there's an area beyond that where you can't carry. So why isn't that problematic? So Tosafot says, you're right, it is. For throwing, it's problematic. For mishicha, for pulling it back in, it's not problematic. Since you're permitted to engage in the object on the other side through mishicha, then that area beyond the tchum is mutar for mishicha. And that means that you're not parutz bimloa to a makom asurla. It's makom mutarla for mishicha. It's a makom asurla for tiltul. So it'll make a difference then with regards to how you're engaging the object. Since you can engage in the object through mishicha, then it won't be a place that is asurla. If you can only engage in the object through zrika, through throwing, then it will be considered a makom asurla and you won't be able to carry on the internal side. So because in the city there are other objects on the outside that you want to bring in to your area, therefore it's a makom mutarla. Versus the case before where you were in the bika and all the objects are with you and you're trying to put them outside, there it's going to be asur because you can't throw them out and therefore that area is a makom asurla. Yomar says, Am Rav Huna, Hayamu Dei Duba, if he was counting or figuring out his a roof, the area of 2,000 amot. Uba v'kalta midato b'chatzi chatzer, and it ends in the middle of a courtyard. Ein lo elo chatzi chatzer. You only get half the courtyard. Or it says, pshita, that's of course. You only get half the courtyard. Why should that din be any different? It's his alpayim amot, 2,000 amot ended. Why would he be able to go beyond that point? Now Rashi says, the question here, or the statement of Huna is, that he can't walk beyond the halfway point of the chatzir. And the Gemara says, pshita, because that's the end of his 2,000 amot. So that's, of course, that's the case. So, ema, so change the statement to read, or amend the statement to read, yeshlo chatzi chatzir. He's allowed to walk in the first half of the chatzir, and the chatzir that's included within is 2,000 amot. Hainami pshita. Of course he can walk there, because it's the 2,000 amot. Go into that area, so why shouldn't he be able to walk over there? The Gemara says, no. Ma'adutema, lichosh dilma ate lutultule bikula. Our fear is that he might carry around the entire chatzir. Because if we allow him to go into the chatzir at all, walking, then our fear will be, since the chatzir, within the chatzir, people can carry in that area. It's a makom reshuta yachid. Can carry on the whole area. Our fear is that he will think, since he can carry in the whole area, he'll go ahead and carry in the whole area. If he carries in the whole area, then he'll walk beyond his tchum. He'll walk beyond the area of the halfway point of the chatzir, and that is our fear over there. Mashman, that we don't worry about that. We do allow you to walk up to the halfway mark of the chatzir, and we don't worry about it. So that is the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot reads the whole issue along the whole way here is about carrying. The whole question is a question of carrying. Can you carry? It says you may not carry in the other half. That's the first statement of the Gemara. The Gemara says, pshita. You may carry in the first half. The Gemara says, pshita. And then the Gemara says in the end that, no, the problem is that maybe you'll carry from the first half into the second half, and that's our fear over here. That's the way Tosafot reads it. Problem is then, wait, why isn't this the case of Bika? This is the exact same case of Bika. Case where you end at the halfway point, and we're not going to let you carry beyond your Daud Amot, because it's a problem of a Makom Shaparutz to Makom Asurla. This chatzir is in that same position. The chatzir is an area that's parutz, totally open, to Makom Asurla. He can't carry beyond the halfway point of this chatzir. So here, Rash makes a differentiation here that Tosafot also picks up, and he says, Aval chatzir ein lomar ba chiluk pirtza l'makom asur, da mi bi'od yom chadahi. Because over here, already it was one location. And since it was one location, then it's okay. Now Rashi will use that same answer for the case of chatzir here. That when you came into halfway through the city, that's the reason it's also not considered to be a Makom Parutz, and it's an opening into a place that's asurla, because these mechitzot existed ben hashmashot. Since they existed ben hashmashot, that place is not a makom asurla. That's a makom mutar for everybody else except you. The only reason it's asur for you is because your tchum ends there. But beyond that, it was a place that was mutar for everybody, including you, had your tchum reached there. Whereas in the Bika, before the onset of the mechitzot, at the time Shabbat began, that whole area was asur to everybody, not just to yourself. Anybody who reached that area would have been asur because there were no mechitzot there. All of a sudden on Shabbat, mechitzot appears, somebody built mechitzot on Shabbat, now you've changed the reality. Now, when you change that reality, we don't say that, oh, beyond your 2,000 amot is also now a makom mutarla. That's not correct. The case. It's only up to the point where you can walk that it's mutar. The beyond that was asur. And it remains asur to you, in that area that's beyond that. So Rashi differentiates between whether mechitzot are there, ben hashmashot, they're there originally. In that case, the area that's beyond your tchum is still considered to be an area that is mutar. Whereas, if the mechitzot are not there, ben hashmashot, and then they're only brought in later, the area beyond your 2,000 amot is a makoma surla, and then it will impact the area that you're in the 2,000 amot. It'll be a makoma parutz, bimloa to a makoma surla, versus the case of chatzir in the year here, which is not parutz to makoma surla, but rather to a makoma muturla. The difference will be within your 2,000 amot. Within your 2,000 amot, you can carry. You can move things around according to that, even according to Rav Huna. The only question will be whether you can throw beyond that point. According to Rav Nachman, I'm sure we'll be able to throw beyond that point. According to Rav Huna, you won't be able to throw beyond that point because Shema Yimasheich, because maybe you'll be drawn after your object, go beyond that point. And that's why before, Rav Nachman tried to bring a proof to Shmuel that when it ends halfway through the city, that you could throw it beyond that point. And the answer was no, you can't throw it. You can only do Mishicha. You can do interactions that don't allow you to go over the Tchum, that we don't fear you going over the Tchum. That would be the way that we differentiate here, even though Rav Huna is making this statement. We'll differentiate between a Chatzer, where you hit the halfway point, and a Bika, where the Mechitzot came up afterwards, and why Rav Huna will have a different position. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Modeli Huna, Rav Huna would agree with me, Haya Modelu Ba, he was measuring his 2,000 amot, V'kalta Mirato Asfat Tikra. His 2,000 amot end right at the edge of a roof. Mutar L'Taltel B'chol HaBayit. You can carry through the entire house. Obviously you can't physically carry there because your 2,000 amot ended. But you can throw things into the house from the end of your Tchum. Why? My time, Hoyo, the Tigrada Bayit Chovetet. Because the Tigrada Bayit is a clear demarcation as to where the end of your tchum is. The whole fear of Rav Huna is that you're going to follow your object. If you throw your object over, you're going to follow the object beyond your tchum. But that's only true when there's no demarcating line where the end of the tchum is. There's nothing obvious that's there. On the other hand, if it's a clear demarcation as to where your klum ends, and then you throw objects beyond that, we're not fearful of you following the object because there's always that reminder as to where your klum ends. I would say it's the equivalent of a korah at the end of a mavoi. The korah at the end of the mavoi is there leheker to indicate to you that that's the point which beyond which you may not carry. So over here, the roof or the tikrat abayit, because that's the end of your tchum, and it's a clearly demarcated location, that will remind you not to go beyond that point. And therefore, you won't have the fear of Shemi Mashiach. You'll be joined afterwards. So Amar Rav Huna, Breder of Natan, Kitanaye. This is similar to a Machloket Tanaim. Holichu Aliyar Acheret. They took him to another city. They put him into a pen or a corral. Ragamliel V'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omrim, Me'alech et Kula. You get the entire area, because that becomes your Dalet Amot. The entire enclosed area has Dalet Amot. Rabbi Shua V'Rabbi Akiva Omrim, Ein Lo El Arba Amot. He only gets those four Amot. My love, isn't this what their Machloket is about? And this is how it will impact the Machloket between Shmuel and Rav Huna. Rabban Gamliel V'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Damru, Me'alech et Kula. Why do they say that you're allowed to walk the entire area of the deer, the soar, or the ear that you put into? To go gazu iluch deer v'soar, atu iluch bibika. They're not gozer, your ability to walk in the deer and soar, where there are mechitzot. Atu iluch bibika. Atu a case when there are no mechitzot. A bika without mechitzot around it, there you would not be allowed to carry dalet amot. So they say, when you're put into an area with mechitzot, those mechitzot make that area into dalet amot, and you can carry that entire area. Okay, if you're put into a place that doesn't have mechitzot, you can't carry. We're not going to worry about that. We're not going to be gozer up to a time when you're put in a place without mechitzot, so therefore you can't carry in a place with mechitzot. No, they're separate issues, and we're not going to put them together. And since they're not gozer, fearing your walking dalet amot in these areas, I mean the entire area, versus a bika where you wouldn't be, they're also not be gozer, throwing up to that you might follow the object out, which would make it like the position of Shmuel. Rav Nachman of Shmuel said, we're not afraid of you following your object, and you can throw it beyond your tchum. So too, that will be the position of Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. V'Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Akiva, don't remain the way l'arba amot. Even within a deer and a sohar, a city, you only get your four amot. You don't get the entirety of the enclosed area. Because there goes there. Why don't they let you? They should agree that you're in this area and you should get the whole expanse. Why don't they let you get that? For fear of when you're put in a bika without mechitzot, that there you'd also walk the whole area, and that's not the case. There you'd be really locked into your dalet amot. And since they're worried about you getting confused about hiluch in this location, that location, tutu atu hiluch nami gazre. They're also gozer throwing atu that you might follow the object out, similar to the position of Rav Huna. Mimai, Rav says, why do you have to say that at all? Dilma, kilo gazer ilum leo Rav Elazar ben Azariah, hiluch soar bedira atu hiluch bika, hanimeli hotam deshne mikomotain. Over there, they're not worried about you confusing them because they are totally different areas. You have a bika that has no mechitzot, and you have a deer and a soar that has mechitzot. So who's going to confuse those two? When you're in mechitzot, you get the entire mechitzot. When you're not in mechitzot, you don't get anything. Nobody's going to confuse those two. There's no reason to be goes there one or to the other. Aval tiltu atu iluch t'makom echad. When you're talking about throwing it beyond your tchum, and it's still in the same area. You're still in the same enclosed area, and you're just throwing it beyond your tchum. Over there, there's reason to worry about Shem Yishech Achar Chavtzo, that he'll follow after his chafatzim, after his objects. So there's a reason to be goes there. So who says that the two are correlated? We could disconnect the two issues and say that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah still think that there's a problem with throwing, even though they don't think it's a problem when you're put into these areas of mechitzot. And the same is true, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva, Nami. We might the mishum de gazreho. Who says that the reason they don't let you walk around more than four amot is a gzeira? Dilma mishum de kasavre. They believe kiamrina and kol abayit kulo ki arba amot dami hanimila hecha de shavat bavir mechitzot beod yom. When are you granted this special dispensation that the entire house, or the entire city, or the entire enclosure is considered only to be four amot? That when you started out Shabbat, in those mechitzot existed, and that's where you stayed going into Shabbat. That's a dispensation for entering the Shabbat inside of an enclosed area. So the enclosed area is considered to be four amot. But here, where you're plucked out of your location and dumped into this place in the middle of Shabbat, over there, you don't get that special dispensation. That doesn't apply to someone who suddenly dropped into a deer, a sohar, or a city. In the middle of Shabbat, you don't get that special dispensation of the whole area being for amot, because these were not mechitzot for you going into Shabbat. They only became mechitzot for you in the middle of Shabbat. And that's the reason they don't allow it. Not because of any gzeira atu, and if that's the case, maybe even by tiltul, they'll agree you can throw it, because they don't worry about this gzeira atu. The whole reason they don't let you do this is because you didn't qualify for this heter. Since you didn't qualify for this heter, you don't get it. But tiltul, we don't worry about you being drawn afterwards. Amar Rav, Rav says, Hilchata ki Rabban Gamliel b'dir b'sohar u'b'sfina. Rav says, Allah is like Rabban Gamliel, in a deer, and a sohar, and a sfina. In all these locations, if you found yourself outside the Tchum on Shabbat, you were thrown into these locations, the deer, the sohar, the sfina was maflig bayam, you can get walk the entire area like Rabban Gamliel, because it's considered to be four amot, and you can walk the entire area. That's Psak of Rav. Shmuel amar, Hilchata ki Rabban Gamliel b'sfina. The Allah is like Rabban Gamliel in a boat, but not in an enclosed area. By the boat, it'll be considered like four amot. By the deer in the sohar, it will not be considered like four amot. Just to note, the Gemara before tried to set up Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel like Rabban Gamliel, and over here, Shmuel is paskening against Rabban Gamliel. Tosafot just points it out. He says that sometimes that happens in the Gemara. You can figure out how to say it. The Gemara before did try to make Shmuel like Rabban Gamliel. It rejected it. But now the halacha, according to Shmuel, is only partially like Rabban Gamliel. That's by a boat, not by a deer and a sohar. Tekulay alma miat halacha Rabban Gamliel b'sfina. Everybody agrees that in a boat, the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. My time up. Why does everybody agree that the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel by the boat, even though they argue about deer and sohar? So, Amar Rabba. Rabba gives one answer. Hoil b'shabbat bavir mechitzot mibod yom. By the boat, you had your mechitzot when the Shabbat started. You were then the mechitzot of this boat. If the problem is whether you were there before Shabbat or not before Shabbat, by the case of Deir V'Sohar, you were plucked out of your location, dumped into this new location, those mechitzot for you didn't exist when Shabbat came in. On the boat, the problem is not the mechitzot, the walls are there from before Shabbat. The problem is that the boat moved out of the tchum. So in terms of the mechitzot that you are in, you're still in the same mechitzot that you started out Shabbat in, the mechitzot of the boat. The problem is that the boat is now outside the tchum. So nothing's changed with regards to that, and therefore you get the entire four amot, because you entered Shabbat within these mechitzot. So that's Rabbi's explanation. Rabbi Zera Omer, Ho, v'sfinato, no tolto, mitchilat arba, umnachto, misof arba. Because the boat takes you from the beginning of four to the end of four. What that means is not so clear. Rashi actually brings three interpretations as to what that means. The first one is, Klamar, Mishyatza Zechutz Lutchom, Lo Nakat Le Arba Amot, Tesfina, Koshai, Hi Melechet Pol Kvitza Vikza, Yoter Mi Arba Amot. Nimsa Shein La Torat Arba Amot Klau. Shlo Amad Psiachat Betoch Arba Amot. Since the boat, every time it gets moved around or floats or in the water, it automatically moves outside of the four amot. So you can never take a step when the second step is still within the first four amot. Every time the boat moves, the boat is in a new area. It's in a new four amot. So every time you take a step, it's as if you're in a new location. So your four amot, in a sense, start over. They reset every time because the boat resets the four amot every time it moves. Every step you take is as if you're walking in your four amot, because every time the boat moves, it resets where your four amot are starting from. Since the boat, right, it's all relative and the boat's always moving, so that's why you get the whole boat. Because every time you step, by the time you take your next step, you're in a different four amot because the boat's moved. Right, so that's one explanation that he brings. Hilchatana lo arba amot. Lishna achrina brings another lashon. Gegom shasfina olechet lemizrach v'umalecho tochal l'maraf. If you're walking against the direction of the boat, so when you're walking against the direction of the boat, then you really never leave your four amot because the boat's floating in one direction to the east, and you're walking to the west. So as you walk to the west and the boat floats to the east, you physically have never left your four amot because it's the boat that's moving. But from your location, not relative to the boat, but your absolute location in the water, you continue to walk in the other direction, and when you walk in the other direction, it's like walking in the escalator. If you walk against the escalator, you're always in the same point, even though you're continuing to walk, because the escalator is moving against you, you stay stationary. Same thing here, the boat's moving in the opposite direction, and you're walking against the direction of the boat, so as you walk, in terms of absolute location, you've never moved. So therefore, you're within your Dalet Amot, and it's okay. Oh, so that's Rashi's point. Rashi says exactly what you just commented, which is, wait a minute, if that's the case, first of all, you can't go back, and you can't walk in the direction of the boat. And he says, we never see such a differentiation in Rabban Gamliel. Nobody makes that distinction. Right. Sounds like you can walk the whole boat, not in one direction. Therefore, Rashi rejects this explanation, and he brings a third explanation, which he likes, is, V'zeh l'shon dudi, Rabbi Shimon mipi Rav. Klomar, sho'ker et rablo kodem shenichena asfina mutziato midalet amot, shelo. Nichnas l'toch arba amot achirot, al korcho. Ave, kemi sho'tzio nachri chutz mi'arba mutav, v'natnu l'toch arba amot achirot. The first answer was that every time you take a step, the boat has now reset your Dalet Amot. The second answer is that you're really never moving from your location because you're walking against the direction of the boat. That Rashi rejects. His last explanation is that every time you take a step, because the boat is moving, you've now gone into a new four amot. The rule is that if Nachrim take you by Ones out to a new location, you get a new four amot. So now the four amot are reset, not because you, in the first answer, which is that you are now walking in a new four amot, but rather because every time you move, when you land, as one foot leaves the ground and then the next foot comes down, when you land, you've landed in a new four amot. You've landed in a new area. And when you land in the new area, you're granted four amot in that new area, as if you, when you're taken out of tchum and thrown into a location, you get four amot. So again, your four amot are now reset. Not because of your walking, but simply because every time you move, you're in a new location. Not because every step you take is in a different four amot, but rather because now in this new four amot, you've reset. Every time you moved beyond four amot, you left your tchum. When you leave your tchum, you get four amot, because you were taken out of there be'onis. You were taken out of there against your will, or against your desires, and that's why you get four amot. Right, so that's a question. It comes up in the Gemara in Shabbat, for instance, when they have a bowl floating on the water, and you throw something in there. When you throw the object in there, is it considered to have landed in the water, or is it considered to land in the kli? It's the same question that you're asking here. Is the object that's in the water, what is that object now batel to the water, and specifically landed in the water, or does that object have separate identity from the water? And that's exactly what you're asking here. Is the boat separate from the water, and therefore he can isolate the boat as if it's Dalet Amot and forget about the water? Or is he considered to be in the water? Now we have to work on what's his relationship between him and the water because the boat's moving. And that's exactly the question between Rabbah and Rabbi Zeira. My benayu, what are the nafkamina betina mik benayu? Shinifchatu dofnei asfina. What happens if the walls of the boat fall down? I mean, if the walls of the boat are no longer there, they break off. So for Rabbah, you have a problem. For Rabbi Zeira, it's still the same situation. Rabbi Zeira did say it's mutar because the boat's moving, and the whole issue here is the movement, not the mechitzot themselves. Inami, kofeitz misfina lesfina, jumps from boat to boat. So again, for Rabbo, the only place you're allowed to be is in the mechitzot of the boat. To enter another boat's mechitzot, that's problematic. For Rabbi Zeira, since both boats are moving, it's the same heter, because you have to look at you relative to the water and the boat's movement, and so that heter would still apply even if you move from boat to boat on Shabbat. And obviously the other nafkamina would be like the opposite way, which is what Shaul said, if the boat is anchored and not moving. If the boat is anchored and not moving, for Rabba, it would be that you can carry the whole boat. For Rabbi Zeira, you would not be able to do that because the boat's not in motion. Okay, for Rabbi Zeira, my time alone, my Rabba. Why didn't Rabbi Zeira subscribe to the position of Rabba? Amalacha, mechitzot, lahavriach mayim asuyot. Mechitzot of the boat are not made for the people internally. They're not made for the keep things in on the boat. They're made to keep the water out. And so the purpose of the mechitzot is from outside the walls, not on the internal side of the walls, and therefore they're not classified as mechitzot for you to carry within. For Rabbah, my time alone, Marka Rabbi Zeira. Why didn't Rabbah subscribe to the position of Rabbi Zeira? Because bimalechet kuliyama lo plige. When it's moving, everybody doesn't argue. Ki plige bisha amda. That when it's stationary, that's when their machloket is. Because now ba'amda is going to have different meanings here, depending on what you think the reason for Rabbi Zeira is. The amda is whether the person is stationary or the boat is stationary, depending on which one of the reasons Rashi gave you for Rabbi Zeira before. One of the reasons the person's moving, that's why he had the heter. So then that would be the malechet, and the amda here would be the person moving versus the person being stationary. Or if before the heter was because the boat's moving, then the malechet here would be the boat moving versus amda, the boat being stationary. All right, we'll stop here because then the Gemara brings a proof from the Mishnah, and we'll stop over here.